Coach's Corner with Kelly and Landry, bringing you views and ideas from the coach's perspective. And welcome back to Coach's Corner podcast, everyone. I can finally have my partner back with me, partner in crime, Coach Landry. Unfortunately, he will be on the phone with me today. He is, we were actually all in quarantine for a little bit. Landry is still doing some of his days. He is good to go on Wednesday, I believe. Landry, I know it's not the same being in person, but how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Glad to have our podcast back up and going after a couple weeks, 2 weeks hiatus.
Yeah.
COVID, you know, causing some stuff. So I've just been in quarantine just trying to get back to coaching and trying to get back to my normal life.
I was fortunate enough to be asymptomatic. Landry probably got, he wasn't sick, but you lost your taste and your smell, right?
Yeah, I still lost my taste and smell, and I will say it is just awful. I literally, like, I can't taste or smell anything. It's unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like it.
Jeez. All right. Well, we have a great topic for you all today. We're going to be talking about what makes a great coach. Landry and I are both in the world of basketball, being coaches, players, but this can also pertain to any sport. But we might refer back to mainly basketball because that's our forte. That's what we're all about. Landry, I'm going to let you go ahead first. I'm going to say a few things, and then you can go ahead. There's so many things that make a good coach, right? There's so many aspects that, okay, well, like I always hear, and then I'm going to get your thoughts on this. Well, he's a great recruiter, not a very good coach. He's a good, you know, teaching skills and drills at that level, but he's not a good in-game coach. So, you know, but when I think about that, I'm like, well, recruiting is a big part of coaching, especially, you know, at the college level, right? We can talk about different levels, high school and college, but so you can go for it.
So I think this is a perfect topic, especially right now in our day and age where everyone thinks they're a coach. Everyone thinks they can coach, whether they've never played basketball, whether they've, you know, only watched rec basketball. Everyone thinks they can be a coach. They think it's to anyone in the world, it's like the easiest job. And it bothers me because it takes away from the aspect that coaching is an art. Okay. In my mind, what makes a good coach is you have to be personable. You can't be a robot and be so stuck in your ways.
You have to be adaptable.
Yeah. You have to be personable in that you have to know how to talk to kids. You have to know how to relate to kids. And I always said that, I still believe it to this day, it's really hard for coaches who, and there obviously are exceptions, so don't get me wrong, but I think it's really hard for coaches to understand the game that they're coaching if they never played it. It's hard to understand where a kid's coming from. You know, it's hard to understand, you know, how to give them a day off, how to relax their body because they've been going through so much. So I think it's hard in that aspect. So I think you have to know your personnel. And then what bothers me in today's age is everyone thinks that making a good coach, especially in AAU, is just, you know, wins and losses.
Wins and losses. You know? But are the kids getting better? Are they right, getting prepared? Right. If it's a young team, are they getting prepared for the next level? If you're a high school coach, you might have a great team and you might keep winning. What if you have kids that want to play college basketball, but you're just making them, you know, using them to build your own resume and you're not making them any better?
Right. And it comes down to this. And Gino Auriemma, who's the best, one of the best coaches in the world, he said it best. Show me a coach that can coach crappy players. That can coach kids that just absolutely, not to be mean, but just put it blatantly.
No, I've always said that. So
And I've always said, show me a coach that can win and improve their game. All right, it's easy to coach the best players in the world and win games. It's easy.
Yeah.
You know, but can you do it? Can you develop bad players into not great players, but develop them into?
Can you see a significant improvement? Yeah.
Yeah. Can you get the most out of your guys?
Yeah, I've always said I've always said, well, this, you know, people say, wow, that guy's a really good coach. And I'm like, what? Like, just because he's won, you know, this and this award in state championships. Well, let's see how he does when he doesn't have those big, high major Division I, talking from a high school aspect. Let's see how he does when he doesn't have those, you know, four or five big Division I studs. Let's see, can he work with developing a program and developing a player into a powerhouse? Like, because sometimes you're given these studs and you don't really, not to say you're not working hard, but you don't have to do as much, right? And you're not having to put as much time into skill work and development, and you just kind of come out with a game plan and, you know, let the ball roll out and put in some plays, but you're not necessarily, you know, are you teaching the game? Are you making them? You're not having to do that as much. So I'm always curious as to can those high profile high school coaches that talent is just coming through. I would love to see them work and try to have to relate. And see if I'm gonna put their actual coaching skills to the test and make them go coach players that need a lot of improvement.
Right. And that's something that I think a lot of average coaches, especially at the high school level, try and do is they just try, and you'll see it, they just try and, you know, create havoc, muck up the game, you know, at the high school level. And especially in basketball, they run multiple different defenses and they try different traps and different defensive schemes. And in my mind, like, yeah, that's going to win you games. But, I mean, what about coaching them, you know, the basics of basketball, the fundamentals of the sport? You know, yeah. And when I was an assistant at the college level, the thing that stood out to me the most is these kids nowadays, when they go from high school to college, they don't have the framework of, you know, defense, you know, defensively, man, fundamentals, you know, taking charges, boxing out, different stuff like that. They're so used to running, you know, playing AAU style basketball that it's just, you have to pretty much start all over with them.
Right. Now, I do think there can be a little bit of a difference when you're talking about what makes a good coach between the college level and the high school level. Because I think, like I mentioned earlier when we first started, you can be a great recruiter, right? And that's right. In the college level, that is all a part of being a coach. That is essentially, you know, you were at the college level, that's kind of almost half the battle. If you're a good recruiter, can you be a good recruiter and relate to kids and want them and be personable with them, like you mentioned, and want them to come play for you? But at the high school level, you're not always going to be able to recruit and do this. So it really bothers me when you have coaches that year in and year out at the high school level go and keep recruiting and keep stacking. And how about you just take what is dealt and let's see what your coaching abilities actually are. Don't you want to see how good of a coach you are instead of, oh, I'm going to go reload every year and recruit and recruit and recruit and get this guy and get this guy and just piece together a team instead of that? See, that's not coaching to me at the high school level, right? Because college is different. You have to recruit.
Now I will say this. So two things. So I agree and disagree. At the high school level, let's say you're recruiting and recruiting year after year, right?
Right.
Well, that's okay. So you're a good recruiter, but you still have to get all that talent that you're recruiting to play together as a team and not as a group of individuals.
Correct.
So how good of a coach are you? Can you recruit all those players year after year at the high school level, funneling them in and be productive and win games?
You're right about that.
And look like a team? Or, you know, are you just recruiting them and it turns into AAU-style basketball? And, yeah, you're going to win 15 games, 20 games, but you're never going to win a conference title. You're never – because, you know, you're going to come against a team that's been together for 4 years, you know.
Right.
And so my second part is, you know, talking about the recruiting aspect. You know, I can't – everyone always thinks of a college coach with recruiting. You always think of Coach Calipari. Do you think he's a good coach?
I was literally just about to ask you that. He's a fantastic, obviously fantastic recruiter, but is he a good coach besides that? Can he – does he offer anything, do you think, you know, in the basketball realm besides being able to recruit these kids? And I do think he, like you just mentioned, I think another skill that he has is getting all of those, you know, top projected picks on the same team to play together. And that in itself is, I think, a mark, a sign of a good coach, when you can get all of those guys to put their egos away, right? After you have, you know, the number one recruiting class in the country, you got all these guys coming in, he gets them to put their egos away and actually play as a team to get something done. Because he's basically saying, you're all here for 1 year, you're all here for the same reason. Let's work as a team and get what we want out of this. I want something out of it, and you all want something out of it. Let's help me help you, right? That's basically probably what that comes down to. But whatever way he does it, you can say it's money. You can say he does a good job at it, I think. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he's a good coach in terms of like the traditional, you know, thinking style of, oh, is this guy a good coach? But I think in those aspects, what we just talked about, I think he's very good.
Right, and that's where people come in and say, you know, some people might think, you know, being a good coach is being able to draw up a play out of a timeout for a game winner for a last shot, or, you know, being a good coach, in my mind, one of the top things of being a good coach is, can you make adjustments? Can you make in-game adjustments to where you're not so, you know, hard-headed, to where you can admit that, okay, this isn't working, we need to switch it up. Can you make adjustments in-game, out-of-game adjustments, you know, switching up the lineup, switching up the offense you're going to run? So making adjustments to me as a coach is huge in any sport.
I think making adjustments even post-game, after the game, when you got to play a team again, like if you're in conference play.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I was just adding on saying, not even just in-game, like you can go back and watch tape, and if you can come back and you make adjustments after, let's say you lose, or even if you win, you're saying, well, they might come back with, you know, counter us with this. We got to be able to have, instead of options A and B, we got to add two more options just in case they do this and have it in our back pocket. Or,
right,
you know, if we lost, we got to come back. And how prepared are we, you know, because you do see some coaches that go into the, let's say, conference play again, that'll just go with the same game plan, right? And you see it all the time because coaches may rely more like, I got a little more talent. I'm going to go with what, even though we lost that game, no adjustments made. And hey, maybe, you know what, that has worked for you in the past, but does it make, you know, you're relying more on, I got more talent, you know, whatever. Cause I do see a lot of coaches that do that. Now, I don't know if they're, you know, just because they're not well equipped enough to make adjustments. Like they're not, you know, I'm not trying to bash anyone and say no one, you know, a bad coach, sure, but, you know.
Right. I agree. I mean, you got to be able to go back, watch film, and you have to look at yourself in the mirror and go, okay, I did this wrong. I need to fix this and practice these next couple of days before we go to the next game. So I think that's a huge thing. And then, like I said, player development is another one to me that sticks out is, so let's say, you know, we'll use college basketball as an example. If you have a three sophomores that start on your team, right? And the next year, They have the same deficiencies, same strengths, and they're the same on scouting reports. You did a bad job as a coach developing those players for the next year. You know, 100%. I know you have a lot to worry about, but that's just, as a coach, you should be wanting these players to develop and get better, not just at, you know, yes, skills, but knowing how to play the game, knowing how to affect the game away from the ball, which is why, you know, watching college basketball this season, I've watched more than I have in the past. I see that everything nowadays, because the guys are so athletic, is just a high ball screen, and then play one-on-one off that, shooters in the corners, big man rolling, and sometimes one-on-one, iso ball, throw it up, go get the rebound. And to me, that's just taking the easy way out as a coach, and sometimes that might be the best offense, yes, but then you go and watch a team like Gonzaga play, and I mean, they're cutting without the ball, they're screening away, they're setting players, they're going in transition, running the break, and it's just fun to watch. So, you know, I think player development is a huge thing, and I think, you know, teaching these kids how to play the game the right way in any sport, football, basketball, soccer, baseball, teaching kids how to play the game the right way.
Right. I think another quality that I've seen good coaches have in common is when they know when, and they own up to it, when it was their fault. If the loss was on them, they're not trying to hide it. They're not saying, well, if we did this or this better, it might be the first to say, this one's on me. I messed up. I got to be better. I got to do this next time and put so-and-so in the right situations, and I shouldn't have had, you know, whoever in this spot, and I got to be able to make adjustments. It was my fault. I think that it's a great quality that I've seen in common from good coaches, and I don't think all coaches have that ability to stand up and say, and you know, this one's on me, fellas. I got to be better.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Give me three coaches that you think that you would consider good coaches, and then give me, you don't have to give me three, but name one or three, if you have three, that you think are bad coaches in your mind.
Currently coaching? I think
you could go either.
I think one of the greatest teacher coaches I never witnessed, maybe at his prime, but was probably in my mind, and you can say, well, you didn't get to see him coach or do whatever, but in reading and watching videos and studying, you know, books on him and books that he's written, or books about him, my number one would probably be Bobby Knight. I think from a teaching of the game standpoint, probably the best coach, hands down. I also think it showed when he went from Indiana to Texas Tech. I mean, right. Heck did Texas Tech have? And I think, what do you go to the Sweet 16 in his second season or whatever it was? You know, and it just goes to show wherever you go, good coaches are going to be good coaches. Good coaches are going to have success.
And what about any others?
You know, I think Mark Few is a pretty good coach. I think he is a guy that has stuck it out and has built a program. He had ups and downs early on. He had that, you know, those success years, obviously, when he had Adam Morrison and Ravio and those guys. And then he kind of had some down years in the mid-2000s and shortly after that, in like the 2010, 2011, 2012 area.
Wasn't he a number one seed and lost in like the second round to an 8 or 9 seed, or no? Was that not him?
With Adam Morrison?
No, not with Adam Morrison, but didn't I thought 1 year they were one seed and they lost the next round in the second round.
They did. That was with Kelly Olynyk and Pangos and those guys.
That's right.
A few years back. And he was also, I think that was like a 10-7 matchup where he lost, or Gonzaga lost to Davidson when Davidson went on that run in 2008.
Right.
But I think he's done a good job from staying where he's at and building that program. And people can say, well, he's in this conference and he does. I'm like, someone can beat him. I mean, he can't do anything other than play the schedule, play in the conference that he's in, and he's still having success because he's a good coach. I think the other one is probably another one of my favorites, just because Dad, this is the first college team that I ever like sat down and watched, besides North Carolina, and you know when I was little. 8, 9, 10 years old, he made me watch. He made me watch UConn and Dinah Taurasi and Gino Auriemma. So I think Gino Auriemma is right up there with the Mount Rushmore of coaches, good coaches, not just based on wins and losses, but if you just hear his ideas and concepts about teaching and coaching and just learning the game, and not even like off the court stuff too, because I think that matters as being a good coach as well. And he has all of that, right? All of his philosophies and his ideas and how he talks, it's very relatable to, I mean, this is going to sound crazy just because they're two completely different people, like personality-wise, but it's very relatable to Bobby Knight and how he approaches the game and how he teaches it. And it should be based on a teaching standpoint and doing things the right way off the court and on the court and not, you know, taking... You know, being very good about disciplining his players and doing this. So those three came to my head.
Those are very obvious three coaches. I was hoping you'd give us a little more, fun that would spark controversy. I don't think anyone's going to argue with you that those coaches aren't great coaches.
What coach would have started some controversy? Give me one that you think would start some controversy.
Okay, a coach, I don't know, but a coach that I think is great, and my respect for him has grown.
Are you going to say Shaka Smart?
Heck no.
I don't know.
I'm going to say Mike Young from Virginia Tech is someone.
That's not controversial.
No, but he's completely shocked me.
Okay, what did I say though? What did I say? Good coaches or great coaches are going to be great anywhere that they go, and they're going to have success, right?
Exactly, and I'm tipping my hat to him, saying he is a great coach. What he is doing at Virginia Tech, and people thought, you know, because people always think, you know, he's coming from Wofford. Oh God, this guy, you know. Another big time, maybe assistant should have gotten that job or something. And look what he's doing. I mean, he's running the table in the ACC, you know. And I will go ahead and say this. Within the past couple of years, Coach K has lost my respect, and he is no longer. He's still a great coach, obviously, but I think he is. I don't think he has made...
He got away from his own philosophy and started playing the Calipari game, and that is not his style. He went away from his style of recruiting and coaching and tried to keep up with the Calipari's and all of them, and that is just not... That isn't Coach K, and that isn't the Duke way, I don't think.
I think that's an issue, but I just don't think he's coaching them up, really. Like... He doesn't seem like he's getting older. He doesn't have that, like, passion where he's getting after the ref. He's yelling at players, getting in their faces. Like, he's kind of, like, become, like politically correct. Like, he's not going to yell. He's not going to get anyone's face. He's just going to kind of sit there and try and monitor and coach them. And, you know, yeah, he's still a great coach, one of the best of all time. I just don't like his coaching style as of late. And then I love your man, Baker at Oklahoma Baptist at D2. I love his coaching style. Absolutely love his coaching style. I think he is an amazing coach.
Coach Aker, shout out to Coach Aker. Shout out to Coach Aker. He might listen to this. One of my favorite people, one of my favorite coaches that I've ever played for. Go ahead.
I not only do I think, because I don't really know much about his philosophy, but his recruiting seems to work. He seems like a good recruiter.
Kids are going to wanna buy in and play for that guy because he's very personable. He is going to get after you, but he's one of those coaches at the end of the day you will absolutely love playing for, and it's a guy that you will put your body on the line every night for him and your teammates trying to win a game or do your best, because that's just the kind of coach he's going to get that style out of you.
Right. And you know what? That should end it right there with that. What makes a great coach is your players are willing to run through a brick wall for you and for the team. You have your players wanting to run through a brick wall because they buy into what you're teaching and buy into the game. That's what makes a great coach. You get your players to want to run through a brick wall and do anything to win.
Now, I don't really necessarily have any bad coaches. Do you?
I mean, I told you, Coach K, I mean, he's still a great coach, but I think he's just, I think he's lost it a little bit. Bad coaches. Oh, man.
Are guys that maybe at the higher level, college level, NBA, that you're just like, how does this guy even have a job anymore?
I don't know. Do you think Steve Kerr's a good coach?
I mean, it's tough to say because I feel like everybody, in the NBA is.
Yeah.
Everybody in the NBA is going, you're not going to win unless, name a championship caliber team that didn't have, all-stars or, future Hall of Famers or anything.
Miami Heat last year.
Did they win the championship?
You said a championship caliber team. They made it to the NBA Finals.
Well, they got, Jimmy Butler.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's an all-star. I said all-star or Hall of Famer. But okay. I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you.
Bad coaches.
I think Brad Stevens, his first 2 years where Boston didn't really have a lot, I think Brad Stevens was phenomenal. Now I think he's going to be under some pressure soon if things don't start clicking in the next year or so.
He could be, but I think he's just an NBA type coach. I think he's a guy where, he's proven he's made.
He hasn't had any bad seasons, but we all know that. Yeah. We all know it nowadays, especially it's a "what have you done for me lately" kind of thing. Society.
Look at the Toronto Raptors coach who won the Coach of the Year and got fired.
Yep.
So, no, I can't really think of any. There are bad coaches out there. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of bad coaches out there. I haven't been around. I've been fortunate to have played for good coaches, been around good coaches, learned from good coaches. So I don't really. It's hard to say who's a bad coach when you're not around their culture, their system, stuff like that. It's easy to, like I said earlier, everyone thinks they can be a coach. It's easy to criticize from the outside when you don't know what's going on the inside.
Oh, it always is.
So you say, oh my God, look at that team with all that talent. Yet they're, yet they have a losing record. Okay, well, yeah, they have all that talent, but sometimes all that talent, it's hard to deal with kid egos. Hard to get right. them to want to buy.
We talked about earlier, you need someone that is actually good at getting them to work together and be a team and have a common goal.
Right. Yep.
I agree with that.
Great thought. Great topic today. I really enjoyed this one.
You got it. All right. That is it. Landry, thank you for, being on the phone with us today. I know it's kind of weird, but, we've been talking about doing this topic for a while, and I'm glad we could finally get it done. And I know you're out of quarantine in a few days, so can't wait to see you in a few days and we can get back to it finally in person. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And as always, you can follow us on Instagram at Coach's Corner Pod. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and many more. Leave us some comments. Tell us how we're doing. If you guys have any topic or ideas that you guys would like for us to do, please let us know. You guys can tune in next time.